In 1969, Michael Collins, an astronaut on Apollo 11, orbited the far side of the moon, while his colleagues Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong had the glory of walking on the moon. He orbited the moon 14 times while they were on the moon. And each time he orbited, he was on the far side of the moon, away from all possible contact with any human being for 47 minutes each time. That's around 11 hours total, cut off from communication, unable to reach anyone or see any human being. He carried the quiet with him and a very real fear that those he cared for, his colleagues and companions, might not be able to return to him. He says, at first, the silence felt peaceful, even welcome. There was no chatter on the radio, nobody talking to him or telling him to do anything. I kind of like that. But over time, orbit by orbit by orbit by orbit, it likely grew very heavy, filled with uncertainty, waiting, and the weight of what he could not control. You don't need to be in space to know the feeling of things being out of your control. You don't need to be in space to have moments of fear, grief, uncertainty, or joy that feels like something you're carrying all by yourself with nobody in sight. That's where we find Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. The other Mary. How would you like to go down in history with that being your name? But that's where they are this morning, the Marys. Walking to the tomb with grief in their bodies, fear in their hearts, and only the faintest thread of hope to keep them going. Unlike us, they don't know what's going to happen. They don't have the rest of the story written in a book that's been read to them since they were children. They are certainly not expecting resurrection. They go there because they've been there all along. They were with Jesus on the cross. They anointed Jesus in the tomb. And they're coming back because love compels them to do so. Because sometimes love keeps us moving even when hope feels small, fragile, and uncertain. Hope, as it turns out, is bigger than most emotions. It's never just joy. Hope holds sorrow and joy together in a tenuous thread. It refuses to let grief have the final word, even when grief feels overwhelming. While the Marys are holding each other, going step by step, urging each other on, everything changes in one moment. Earthquake shakes the ground, an angel appears, the guards fall dead, and the stone is rolled away. Not the morning they expected. The world as they understood it shifts completely in a moment. And then the angel says, "Don't be afraid." Right. "He is not here, for he has been raised." Turns out this isn't poetry or metaphor. It's a declaration that death and despair no longer have the final word. And then Jesus meets them. It says, suddenly Jesus says, "Greetings." I imagine him jumping out from behind a bush. "Hello." He doesn't come later. He doesn't wait for them to figure out what's going on. He doesn't meet them at a distance or further down the road. He meets them right then, right there. Because resurrection isn't a concept. It is a real, physical encounter. Christ who comes towards us. That's the truth that Easter reveals. Nothing. Not death. Not failure. Not illness. Not the worst the world can do can overcome the love of God. This translates to us too. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done or thought, no matter the things you think are despicable, no matter the things that you're hiding deep in your heart that you hope nobody, nobody, nobody can see, you are held in love. It isn't fragile. It doesn't fail. Love prevails. Author Esau Macaulay says, "Hope is a demanding emotion that insists on changing you. Hope pulls you out of yourself and into the world, forcing you to believe more is possible. He calls hope indestructible. Indeed, hope is not passive. Hope does something inside of us. It pulls us forward. It draws us out of isolation and opens us again to the possibility that more is possible, that love is possible. Hope sends the Marys forward. They leave with fear and great joy. See how hope holds them both together? And they run. Note that their fear isn't gone yet, but hope compels them anyway. Hope turns them outward together, regardless of what is inside. They didn't come alone, and they don't leave alone, because hope is strongest when shared. Hope is most easily felt when shared, because when we carry it together, more often than not, because we cannot carry it alone. Sometimes, perhaps, your hope isn't strong enough to carry you, but it is strong enough to be carried by someone else until you can move again. I imagine that's how it was with the Marys as they walked along. One said, "No, I can't do it." And the other Mary, there she is again, said, "No, you can." And on and on and on, they urged each other forward, and hope propelled them on. Last night, while we were celebrating the Easter Vigil, saying that, Artemis II circled the far side of the moon. They saw what Michael Collins saw 57 years ago, but they saw it together. This morning, the world saw pictures of the far side of the moon, something we have never seen before. What was once solitary and a concept became real and shared in a moment. And in that sharing, hope grows stronger, more visible, and more real. When we saw Artemis take off, many of us took pictures of the TV. I got texts from friends all over the world. Friends in Florida sent me pictures of it flying over their heads because we long for something to hold to. We need hope. It binds us together and draws us forward. We are desperate for hope in this world. But that's what resurrection does. We don't need a rocket ship, although it's cool to have one. Resurrection makes our fragile hope something we can hold together, something real that connects us. It is real and true and palpable every day. That doesn't mean that life suddenly becomes easy. Doesn't mean we leave this place on Easter morning, everything set aside, everything good. Sorry. Fear doesn't disappear. Sorrow isn't immediately erased, or maybe ever. But something deeper has changed. Because on that first Easter morning, the women saw something they had never seen before. Something more powerful than the far side of the moon. Not just an empty tomb, but the God who made the moon. The risen Christ met them on the road, filled them with nothing but love. And that means, beloved, whatever you brought with you this morning, whatever you were sitting in that chair with, whether your hope feels strong or barely there, Christ is already on the road to meet you. Because hope is not something you have to manufacture or force. It is given to us in the risen Christ. It is something shared. It is real. Something that cannot be destroyed. It fills us with love manifest for the world. Beloved ones, the love of God has already gone ahead of you into every fear, every grief, every sorrow, every uncertain future, and it meets you there. Christ is risen, and because he is risen, hope persists and compels us to carry each other and to share that love with the whole world. Alleluia, Christ is risen.